If there's one thing you know about me, it's that I am completely and utterly obsessed with chairs. And I have been this way since I was a teenager. I grew up in San Antonio, Texas, and there I amassed a small library of books about the history of chairs. Everything on the contemporary designs of chairs, to modernism's role in chairs. I would memorize these books and I could tell you the name of every chair, the name of its designer, the name of its manufacturer, its date of birth, its social security number, its mother's maiden name, what its mother had for dinner last night, which coincidentally was chicken with cherry sauce. I was obsessed, and so I decided to take my obsession towards its logical conclusion, and I decided to study design so that I could make a chair of my own. And I moved to New York to study design, but when I got there, I realized that I was more interested in moving chairs around than I was in actually making chairs. I would sneak into the classrooms late at night, and I would take all of the tables and arrange them and stack them and build a giant mountain out of them. And I would climb to the top of this mountain, and I would look out over the whole town, over the whole city. And I would look at all the things around as if we were in a giant playground, and these were all the building blocks that could be rearranged and composed in new ways to tell new stories and to make new compositions. And so I took the chair and I started to flip it around. I turned it upside down, and eventually I laid it on its side and I put it to the ground. And there it started to stick. It started to transform. It started to transform into something else, into a person. It was no longer a chair, it was becoming a human being. Now I should stop, because you're probably thinking that I am crazy. But if you look at the history of art, you'll find countless examples of how the chair is used as a way to represent humans. You can see it from Van Gogh, to Bruce Nauman, to Ai Weiwei. Van Gogh, he painted a chair that was his chair, and he painted a chair that was Gauguin's chair, and he used the way that he painted these chairs to represent what he thought of himself and what he thought of Gauguin. And both Bruce Nauman and Ai Weiwei used the chair as a way to represent the body under control. And we can also see the way that the chair is used in popular culture, the way that it is used in our language to understand the leaders of companies, the chairman of the board. But when I look at the chair and I see it as a body, and I see the chair on its side on the ground as if it's a human body lying on the ground, if you look at the way that the human body would be if it was sitting in the chair, it would be in the fetal position, which is a position of rest, a position of deep sleep. So when I look at the chair on its side, it's as if I'm looking at this body in deep sleep. Or maybe it's the chair in deep sleep. It's the chair at rest, taking a break from being a chair. I was fixated with this position. I thought about it so much that I even started to dream about it. I had a dream one night that I took a chair and I painted it white. I covered the whole chair with dripping white paint. It was like a wedding dress of white for the chair. And then I took the chair and I put it into bed. And I lied next to this chair. We were so close. It was as if we were becoming one. It was a warm dream. It was a pleasant dream, the kind of dream that you feel like you've slept a double night. And so I started to wonder after this dream, what does it mean? What is this symbol of the chair on its side? What can it mean? What does it mean to you? I asked this to my friends and the people around me, and I got a variety of answers. One woman, she said, well, it looks like the number 4, or the letter H. And another woman, she said, well, I put the chair on its side so that my children don't climb on it and then climb on top of the table and hurt themselves. So for me, the chair on its side is a practical thing. Another friend, he said, well, of course the chair is on its side because it fell over during a crazy party. You know, we got so excited that we were kicking chairs over all around. And another friend, he said, no. Of course it didn't fall on its side. This is art we're talking about. Someone placed this chair on its side. It didn't fall on its side. This is a conscious decision to put the chair on its side. And when you put the chair on its side, You're telling us that the chair here is not about the function of sitting on a chair. No, no, no. By placing the chair on its side, we deliberately deny the function of sitting to reveal the chair for what it really is, a series of lines, a series of abstract lines pretending to be a chair. Now, I went this summer to visit my family again in Texas, and when I was there, I decided to consult my mini library on the history of chairs. And I found this book on the history of African stools and chairs, and I turned to the section on the Asante tribe of Ghana. The Asante tribe of Ghana is very interesting because they have a very different relationship to objects. They believe that the chair contains the soul of the person who is sitting on it. And in order not to disrupt this relationship between you and your chair, you put the chair on its side when you are not sitting on it. That way no one breaks this special bond that you have. They even paint the chairs of the living white, and when the person dies, they burn the chair black, and they put it in a temple. As I read this, I was in amazement, because all this time in my dream, I had remembered I'd painted the chair white before going to sleep with it, and I thought, of course, this was a sexual dream, this is a sign. But in fact, it was the Asante spirit speaking to me in my sleep and telling me to do it. And so now, I look at this chair, I come back to this chair here before you on the ground, and I think, I should paint part of this chair white as a way to give back some life to this chair, also as a way to strengthen the abstract lines of the chair. And so I thought I would paint a single continuous line from the back leg to this line connecting to the front leg and up that. So it's like a little hook, like the letter J. And as I looked at this letter J, I started to be in debate with myself because, you know, if you paint this chair white, then you are covering up the history of this chair. This is an old chair. It's over 100 years old. You can see the termite holes and the way that they've constructed this chair and reconstructed it over the years. And if I paint this chair white, then I'm just covering up all of that history. And as I looked at the chair and I was thinking, should I paint it or should I not paint it, a really amazing thing happened. I started to see this line turning white before my very eyes. Just like that, it was turning white before my very eyes. I couldn't believe it. I didn't even need to paint the chair white for it to become white. And I was so struck by this feeling that I thought that maybe we could try together to collectively imagine that this line is white. Can you see it?